The bloody civil wars in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Nicaragua 2 decades ago have been fading into the past, and elected governments seem to have become the norm in Central America. So, says Dana Frank, the June 28 military coup in Honduras took the international news outlets by surprise, scrambling to find experts to explain what happened. But who are these hundreds of thousands of unarmed civilians who formed the Popular Resistance Front?
There's not a big middle class at all in Honduras. It's maybe 4% of the population. And as much as 80% of the population, I would say, is in deep poverty. And what's really amazing is this movement, everybody says is getting stronger and stronger. It's brought together the Campesino movement. You may have heard of Via Campesina, the human rights groups, the women's groups, middle class and left, and the labor movement, progressive Catholics, the indigenous movement, and the Garifuna people, descended from indigenous peoples of South America and runaway and freed slaves. And these folks that did not particularly work together before the coup now have this whole resistance front.
Facing this united front is a powerful oligarchy which controls the army, the economy, the medias, and the two-party system. In this environment, says Dana Frank, Honduran women in the past 20 years have been instrumental in the development of civic and community organizations.
What's been really amazing is to see the role of women in the resistance. The top leadership of the National Front Against the Coup is mostly male, but there's some key figures. Berta Olivas from Via Campesina, Berta Cáceres from Council of Popular and Indigenous Organizations of Honduras. And she says women have to be front and center in fighting the coup. First, because our struggle as women means confronting a dictatorship based on different forms of domination. We've said that it's not just destructive capitalism, not just the racism that has also been strengthened by this dictatorship, but also patriarchy. So we think our resistance as women means going a step further toward a more strategic vision, a more long-term vision in fighting for our country.
U.S. media, says Dana Frank, are spreading the false claim that President Zelaya, who is a member of the oligarchy, was illegally trying to obtain a second term. But in fact, he was seeking to convene a constitutional convention. A more likely scenario is that the oligarchy became enraged because he was moving to the left.
Zelaya was a centrist moving to the left. He'd make this oil deal with Petrocaribe with Venezuela. He joined Honduras with ALBA, the mutual security pact with Venezuela, Ecuador, Bolivia, and Nicaragua. They're not happy about that. They think that Hugo Chavez is this demon taking over the whole world.
But the domestic economy may have been what scared the oligarchs most.
He was threatening the mining interests. He was not allowing the deforestation. There was power grabs that the Honduran elites wanted. They wanted more privatization of Puerto Cortez, and he wouldn't agree to that. There's some stuff about telecommunications. The increase in the minimum wage has gotten a lot of attention. It was a 50% increase that he passed earlier this year. It didn't apply to the maquiladoras. The banana workers make more than that to begin with. But nonetheless, they were threatened by that.
It all started as a peaceful popular movement to restore a democratically elected president, says Dr. Frank. But now the brutal repression by the military regime has forced the resistance front to make new plans.
The question is, how do you move forward when so many of these basic institutions of the top level society have been completely and utterly compromised? And that's why the resistance is saying we got to redo this whole thing somehow and have a different constitution and not have it be the same 5% running things, because how do you move forward when you don't have anybody clean at the top?
For the WBAI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.